Hum Long Point Pencil. It's nice. I own four or five.
I have a request for our After Dark listeners.
Yes.
There is a book that disturbed me as a child.
And oh, is this a lazy web? You going to do a lazy web?
Yeah. And I would like to see if they could help me find the book and if it, because I want to torment my children with it a little bit.
Nice.
And it is a Chicken Little book. It came out in the, I think, my, according to my mom, in the very late 60s, early 70s time period. I would describe it as a psychedelic book in a lot of ways. It is the story of Chicken Little, and the pages are different sizes so that as you go through the book, it either starts with a small one and gets bigger or gets bigger to smaller. I forget. But it is a picture book that I remember just being amazed by the strange artwork and the whole story perplexing me as a kid. But this is just a really interesting, unique book. I have searched for this thing high and low. Cannot find it. Cannot find it on eBay. Cannot find
it
anywhere.
That sounds super interesting.
It's really...
Pretty definitely Chicken Little, though.
Absolutely 100% is Chicken Little. And if I can find this, if I can find two copies, I'll get one for you just because I want you to see this thing up close. But unfortunately, Chicken Little has been dominated by the Walt Disney movie Chicken Little with Zach Braff
way?
And Joan Cusack. And
oh, right. Sure.
Not that kind of dom.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so it makes finding anything else Chicken Little almost impossible.
They call it namespace pollution.
Namespace pollution. All right. But anyway, this is not like a cutesy little Chicken Little-y book. This has just really, really distinct, interesting artwork, and it's awesome. So if you guys can help me with that, I would greatly appreciate it, and I will send Merlin a copy of this. Yeah.
People used to be much less concerned about scarring children.
It was part of growing up was getting traumatized a little bit by things.
Sure, you got your Grimm brothers.
Ooh.
Come long point pencil sharpener.
I'm
with pointer.
Ordering these. I'm going to get some of these.
By myself. Alvin. Get several because your child will steal them and break them. Or she'll jam some pastels in there and just turn it really hard until it's all screwed up.
Mm-mm.
I really am turning a dad corner. For years, well, back when I was really collecting the comics a couple years ago, I had a roll of tape that said Dad's Tape. And it had an X-Men sticker on it. Nobody but me was allowed to use it. Okay. I am now very close to having Dad's pencil and Dad's marker. Because I'm not allowed to have... You know I love my daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to have anything new anymore. I'm not allowed to have a thing for me. The pencils, I buy pencils literally by the dozen. I buy five of these pencil sharpeners. Basically, if there's anything I know my daughter could even just hold in her hand, let alone be interested in, I buy three and hide two. Because it's going to be gone. And I don't know, she's like a raccoon, like or a crow. I don't know where she puts these things. Scissors with the papercraft, brother? We got six pairs of scissors and we can't find any of them.
Oh, man.
Mm.
Do you think she's throwing them out?
Yes. Yes, throwing them out, maybe selling them. Come long point pencil sharpener with pointer by Alvin.
Well, I got them in the show notes. Yeah, I recognize these things.
Yes.
Black Wing Pearl.
And by the way, if you got a kid, just so you know, that awesome little door that lets the shavings all stay in there, that'll break off in a day. And she'll jam more crayons in there. Could you stop jamming crayons into the come long point pencil sharpener with pointer by Alvin? Cheese and crackers, Dan. What do I have to do?
The chat room is trying to help me out. AF Waller and Wonder Yak sending links to Chicken Little books that they found on Amazon. None of these were close except for the one that Wonder Yak found, which is the book.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrific. Is it in show notes?
No, it's from 1973 by Barry Zaid. And it is they have one hardcover used book that's $50 and up, and I may almost have to buy us this thing.
A surprise size book.
A surprise sized book.
Why don't you look? Let's see. They have it
this
at our
it.
Library. They have it at our library. I will request it.
You need to go and look at this thing.
Yes.
Try it. Yes, this is it.
That's awesome.
Thank you to our amazing listeners. If they have this in our library, I might actually get me a go.
Each page of increasing size reveals another detail of Chicken Little's cumulative journey to tell the king the sky is falling. Folklore.
Yes, this is the one for sure. It disturbed. Yes. Yes. Yes.
J398ZAID.
That's who has it?
No. J for juvenile, 3 for 398, Zaid for Zaid. That's the Dewey Decimal for it.
I'm going to send you.
You got that plugin? You're back on the Chrome. You got to get my plugin, buddy. No, you got to get that library plugin. It'll change your game.
Yeah, no, I have that.
Library extension.
I'm gonna paste this picture to you.
Okay.
Hold on here.
That's terrific. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you to the crowd listeners.
Funding sorcerer. Bok, bok.
Just look at look at this. Huh? Look at that.
Whoa. Oh, look at that. Oh, whoa.
It's weird. Whoa. It's really weird.
That's so creative.
It's so weird.
That's ahead of its time.
I know.
That's almost an art book.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Chicken. Howard Chicken.
Howard Chicken.
Come Long Point, Pencil Sharpener with Pointer by Alvin. Alvin? Alvin? God, Harry Shearer. What is up with that guy?
I don't know. I've been a fan and
follower of his for many, many years.
Yeah, that's so over.
I was listening to the show, you know, for a long time. He's always seemed kind of like a sour little man.
Hmm.
He's always seemed kind of like, he's kind of like the guy who didn't get the invite.
Mm.
Did you read about how he phoned it in?
No.
So he's leaving behind something like $14 million.
Yes.
And what was his name? Sam Simon? No, who's the showrunner? The showrunner's like, you know, we're kind of doing everything we can for you. We give you the same money that everybody gets. He lives in England now. He gets to do table reads, like over the phone from England.
A table read is where they...
You go up the script and you do like a run through of the script and make changes as needed or, you know.
What's so good about England?
Second of all, they said, okay, fine. You don't even have to come here to record. You can like over whatever substitutes for ISDN now, but like high speed lines. He can record his lines to the studio from England. Finally, they said, no, it's fine. Just record them when you get a chance. So if you've noticed his character seem kind of lame in the last year, it's because he literally gets the script and when it suits him, goes and records the voices for his characters and I guess Dropboxes it to them. $40 million. Now, you know me, Dan. You know I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy going like, well, he makes all this money. Dur, 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 dur. But it's like, man, what could be that bad? You know, it's one thing to just go like, you know, I'm sick of doing this. But like, God, he seems kind of whiny.
Well, because it comes out and, you know, I haven't really heard his side of it because I don't think he said much, but...
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It comes
right.
out... Well, I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying it comes out looking like it's all about money when my guess is that he feels like he's in a position where he doesn't need it mm-hmm. and he feels like he's kind of better or something. I don't know. Like, I would do that gig for free.
Well, that's a lot. It's been a long time. And you know what it is, though, also? There's so much you don't see in the business of show. There's so much you don't see about, like, you know, think about this. I mean, how much you think Chris Evans gets from Captain America figures?
Oh, yeah.
Probably nil.
Yeah.
But yet, he has to sign, if somebody brings him a Captain America thing, he's got to sign it and look happy about it.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel makes all of the money on those movies.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at what those guys' contracts are for the amount of work they do, it's crazy. Now that he's a movie star, he probably kind of regrets how he became a movie star. Anyway. All right. We've got 134 show titles.
Oh, nice.
Of wildly varying quality, mostly from Said or Yor and Wonder Yak underscore. thank you very much for doing that. We've got a lot. Boy, we got a lot of these. A lot of cheese.
You like any?
You like?
I'm reading.
Some. Don't even say it.
I won't.
Dumb maintenance stuff of life.
Personal disappointment machine is funny.
That's funny. Garbage in the can. Sailors in your mouth. Sailors in your mouth. It's a gravy boat, not a navy boat. You're not watching Bob's Burgers, are you?
Mm-mm.
sailors in your mouth. All right.
I do like adult coloring book. I don't think it's appropriate, but I like it.
It's a cum.
Gentile.
It's a cum. Mixed metaphors in a dryer sack.
Yeah. Minecraft of your life.
La, la, la. Minimally viable interruption. Ooh, that's pretty good.
Ooh, let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's pretty good. That's got the stink of us all over it. Another weird fucking episode.
It's a good one. In the can.
Probably best one we ever done.
In the pipe.
Are we going to get this out today?
I'm going to edit this right now myself.
Yourself?
My own self.
Your own damn self?
My own damn self.
Hey, you ready for me to say something risky and crazy?
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live was really funny this week.
I didn't see it yet. I have it recorded.
Yeah. It was really good. Louis C.K.'s monologue was crazy good.
I've heard people who have been like posting that it was offensive and like they were legitimately offended by it.
Sure. It was great. And
isn't it a comedy routine?
Well,
who can be offended by, I mean, it's
no,
supposed to be
no.
funny.
Everybody has any I right to be I don't know offended what he by said anything. I'm just not going to get involved in that. I liked it. I mean, everybody should be happy to own their offense at things they've seen on TV. I thought it was good. Anyway, the point being, the rest of the show was great. What was his name? Kenan Thompson? Is that his name? That guy, man, he is such a utility infielder. He's great in everything he's in. I thought it was a great episode. I thought it was really good. And so, yeah, I thought it was really good. Minimally viable interruption. All right. And so you got show notes for four sponsors.
Yep.
And I've got the show notes. I'll go back and listen and do the thing. 11:25. Okay. I got to pick up in 2 hours. Boom. Boom. Two of my pickup days are 150.
That's not bad.
Short day.
Yeah.
Short day. Okay, good. We did it. We did another one, buddy. 221. Boom. 220, 221. I didn't even realize that. Damn it. Did you realize that?
No.
Our last two episodes constitute a Mr. Mom joke.
Oh, man.
Shit.
Whatever we should have said something about it.
I know. 220, 221. Why? That line has such enduring appeal to me. The way it's delivered is so perfect.
Whatever it takes.
You know the line I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, where he's like, whatever it takes.
You're going to rewire this for 220?
Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
That movie, does it still hold up?
I don't know. I think it's pretty cute. It's kind of a little dated. It's got Terry Garr, so it's got to be good. But yeah, I mean, it's a little dated. Who's the big bad in that? Is it Jeffrey? Or no, it's what's his name from Fernwood Tonight?
Oh.
Martin Mull?
Is that who that is?
Is it Martin Mull? I don't know.
No. I'm going to have to look this up because this is going to bother me.
Feels like Martin Mull.
Michael Keaton, though. Michael seriously.
Martin Mull.
Let me look here what this is. Let's see who's in this. See full cast and crew.
See full cast and crew. Come. Come long. Point, pencil, sharpener with...
Martin Mull, look at you.
Pointer, as they say in France.
Martin
by Mull. Alvin.
Terry Garr.
Oh, she's good. She's got the MS now, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a real bummer. She's terrific. And gosh, you know, with all the Letterman memories, I had forgotten about the episode they did in Dave's office from the classic period. They said, oh, it's just too hot to record in the studio today. So Dave sits at his desk in his little office and Paul's there with a Casio keyboard. The entire show is in Dave's office.
I vaguely remember
Terry
that.
Garr comes in and it's incredibly awkward. Yeah. She was so good on that show. Like her and Charles Grodin, like, and Harvey P. Carr, like certain people whose appearances on there, you always knew as soon as that you knew what it was going to be like. You knew which kind of awkward it was going to be. Like her things with Dave were always so funny. It was always so, I think they played up the awkwardness of it, but it was always just so funny.
Like the old school Charles Grodin stuff. With the
Did
shtick.
You see him on Louis? Have you seen him on Louis recently?
I have not, no.
Oh my God, the last few Louis have been so good. Oh, he was so great on Letterman. He was always so angry.
Oh, so angry. And he, you know, their shtick, which I have to wonder.
It was shtick. It was totally shtick.
Oh, no, it totally was.
Because he did it with Johnny. He did it with Carson, too.
But did he do it, like, was it a thing that he's like, I'm going to go out and do this, and they knew, or did they not know? Did they know? Were they in on it? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, I think... I think it's not so different from Super Dave. I think that was the bit, and they both knew it was the bit. Harvey Pekar, that wasn't no bit. I think Harvey Pekar genuinely hated being there and hated David Letterman.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember him? He would be so angry on there. It was, or who was the guy? Who was the one guy, the philosopher they used to have on? That was Brother Theodore. Was that his name?
I'm not remembering that one.
Oh my God. He used to have the craziest people on. It's weird. I mean, you know,
for me, like Dave, there's still, like, there's sort of been three Daves for me. There's the Dave that I remember most fondly, which is chucking watermelons off the roof. You know, running around town. That was the sort of the Dave of my youth, right? And then there was the CBS Dave when he made the big switch. And I loved that because that was like...
Victory.
Victory, yeah. And that was like New York and not classing it up, but it's like he went to a different level.
Yeah,
you know,
he
went from being like, I'm like the late night guy, we're going to do some crazy stuff.
But it was like, he was our guy. He was our guy.
Yeah.
Our weird guy. Yeah. And he had arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's
Jason put it well, I think, when he did a really good retrospective about this. And there was kind of three Daves. There's the NBC Dave, which is only 10 or 11 years. You got Dave up till the heart surgery, and then you got heart surgery Dave till now. And I personally, not to piss in the punch bowl, but I would actually take the first Dave and break it into two parts. I would take Dave up to about 86 as like classic Dave.
Yeah.
Like after 86, it was still extremely funny and I still watched it religiously. I still like not nearly as good. It was still way better than the CBS show in my opinion. But like that's when it got really super over the top gimmicky. They started doing the stuff with the showgirls coming out and all that stuff. But like the super weird Dave up through like 86, maybe to 87, I consider like classic. But yeah, it was a different show. It was a different show. But it's weird to think that he was at CBS twice as long as NBC.
Well, yeah, but I mean, a lot of time has passed. And this is like act three for Dave is sort of the
sunset years.
Yeah, the sunset, but the almost his own sort of Carson role where he,
People forget that Carson phoned it in for a really long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, for me, like I grew up with, and feel like Dave was like our guy, but in the same way that I like Sean Connery as Bond, like Carson is the definitive host, and it's interesting because I think there's a lot of people for whom that's always been Dave.
Right. Yeah. Jason was talking about this. And now for some people today, that's Conan. Like where you go, like, that's my guy is Conan.
Right.
Think about, you know, the thing is, you know, remember, you're older than you think. There are a lot of people who came up where, you know, think about this. So Dave went to CBS in 93. So it's 22 years. Is that right?
Wow.
So that means somebody who's 22 now never saw Dave at NBC. And they have seen Conan.
Right.
Replace him in those 22 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah.
Conan still seems like the new guy to me.
No, he very much seems like the new guy. He's still doing like he feels watching his show, which I do enjoy.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, he's doing Conan.
Yeah, he's doing Conan. It feels more like the early Dave years than it feels like anything else to me. But it is its own thing.
Yeah. But, I think Andy Richter is just a fucking riot.
Oh, he's great.
That guy. Having him back on the show is so smart because he's perfect. He's perfect in that role because he really is the funny one. I mean, Conan O'Brien, my gosh, you know, he wrote the monorail episode of The Simpsons. He's brilliant. But I think Andy Richter's a very talented improv player. Like he's really good at being in that room and saying exactly the right thing at the right time.
You know, here's the perfect analogy for that. Just probably because this is on my mind because I was listening to you and Jim talking about Eddie Van Halen. But if you've ever heard Eddie Van Halen playing not in Van Halen, for example, playing something in a Michael Jackson song, right?
Yeah.
Like he does exactly what's necessary for the song and no more. And I feel like that's Andy on Conan's show. He's doing everything he does. Everything he does is for the show and
elegant.
To make the show better.
Elegant, like the right economical.
Yes.
I've watched lots of movies I like lately. I watched the Ex Machina. I thought it was good.
I haven't seen that one. Is that Tomorrowland? Is that the same movie?
That's not out yet. No.
Mad Max?
Ex Machina is like the AI movie. It's very, very, especially given the budget, like it's shockingly well done. And I thought it was good. I thought it was like a very good, you know, here's the problem, right? And it's why I'm now scared to see Mad Max, is there was so much buzz about Ex Machina that my expectations were a little too high. It's very, very good. It's like an extremely good science fiction story. You know, it really, but with a lot of touches of Kubrick. I think you'd like it. It's out there. What else did I see that I liked? Lots of stuff. All right, I think we covered our bases. I gotta go make these show notes.
All right, man.
What are you gonna do? You gonna have some lunch?
I ate a little light bite right before this, so I'm gonna.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thanks. That was a weird show.
Yeah, I loved it.
Probably best one we've ever done,
I think.
Okay. Bye, Dan. Bye, Jackals.
Bye.